Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Good evening, it's 5:30. This is Update from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, sea watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person, including tonight, the father of baby Maxwell, who needs funds for stem cell treatment in Panama, 2020's new album LCs, could it be you, the 50-metre swimming pool for King William's College, a look forward to the Rugby World Cup final, and it's the Koosh!
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
29 minutes to 6, first of all the news headlines, Fastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Fastamai. An 18-year-old has admitted to stealing two cars and assaulting a police officer. Melissa Brew of Cronkelphin pleaded guilty to multiple charges at Douglas Courthouse. Nominations are being sought for the next election for Legislative Council. There will be four vacancies open in February, with MHKs electing who will serve for the next 5 years. Nominations will open for a month on the 29th of January. Manx golf professional Tom Gandy has finished 10th at the PGA Euro Pro Tour Championship in Spain. He was 6 shots behind the winner. Tonight's fireworks display in Douglas has been brought forward due to heavy rain forecast. It was originally due to start at 8 p.m. but will now get underway at 6:30 p.m. From further afield, a man's been charged with manslaughter over the deaths of 39 people in a lorry in Essex. He was arrested in Dublin on a European arrest warrant. Meanwhile, police are urging two brothers from County Armagh to hand themselves in. Nigel Farage has given an ultimatum to Boris Johnson as he launched his Brexit party's election campaign. He's told the Prime Minister to ditch his EU withdrawal deal and sign up to a Leave alliance. The name of the collapsed holiday firm Thomas Cook is going to live on. The brand has been bought up by Fosun, the Chinese owner of Club Med, for £11 million. And the Royals have been sending good luck messages to England ahead of tomorrow's Rugby World Cup final against South Africa. And it seems even baby Archie's excited. Prince Harry included a picture of his 5-month-old son wearing his kit. Those are the headlines. I'll have more for you at 6 o'clock. I'm Rhiann Evans, Manx Radio News.
Benham Advocates. Call us on 639 350 or visit manbenham.com. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
27 minutes before 6. From Ronald's Way Met Office, wet and breezy this evening with a moderate south-southwesterly, freshening from the southeast later. After midnight, the rain will clear away. 9 degrees, the overnight minimum temperature for Saturday. Jasan, sunny intervals, scattered showers coming in on light winds, and 12 degrees for Jaduni. Sunday, bright with intermittent showers. Highest temperature is 11 degrees. The sun set at 5:15 this afternoon. Sunrise in the morning at 7:20. Low water tonight is at 8:25. The overnight high tide, 2:22.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com.
A Douglas couple has launched a GoFundMe page to raise funds for stem cell treatment in Panama for their baby son, who's been diagnosed with cerebral hypoxia and cerebral palsy. Father Edward Perry takes up the story of Maxwell.
He was born on the 3rd of February this year.
The pregnancy had been fine before?
Yeah, everything had gone to plan, all the scans.
And then?
And then, literally 2 days before, Naomi, my wife, was about to go in. She felt reduced movements. As a result, she went up to Nobles. They scanned her, and the CTG monitor that basically gives you a tick to say whether it's happy, it wasn't giving a tick, basically. So they ran it 2 or 3 times. And I think it was on the second time they spoke to the doctor on call, and he said that he wasn't happy and basically went straight through to emergency C-section.
After the birth, after the C-section.
Sometimes you just get a sixth sense that something's not going to plan. A typical C-section, they're normally quite quick, but this was very quick. I mean, then when they got Maxwell out of Naomi, he was stillborn, basically. And then every single person, it seemed like, in the hospital was in theatre trying to save Maxwell. We got Maxwell going, and the consultant said that it was unlikely he would survive for more than a couple of hours, very, very surprised if he'd last overnight. By the time they got him down to the special care area at Nobles, they managed to stabilise him quite quickly. And here we are now, yeah.
So what is it you're raising money for?
So we've recently come back from Mexico. So we the first round of stem cells we went to at the start of October. And they typically take about 6 months to see an improvement in the babies and the stem cells to take effect, basically. And over the last probably 15, 20 days, we have seen quite a large improvement in Maxwell. And the cost of the trip with flights and things like that are very expensive. We've also bought a hyperbaric chamber for him to have in our home. So we're doing everything we possibly can for him. But if we possibly can, it'd be nice if the public can help get behind it and potentially make it so we don't have to face all of those costs ourselves.
Tell us about the page that you've set up then and how much are you looking for?
So the GoFundMe page, I mean, realistically, the next trip's going to cost around £15,000. So if we could get anywhere near that or, you know, half of it, at the minute I think it's at around £3,000. We started it properly yesterday. So it's you know, a lot of people have been contributing, which is fantastic. But I mean, realistically, if we can get to half or £10,000, it'd be unbelievable.
How do you feel about Nobles, the work they did?
Nobles were fantastic. I mean, absolutely unbelievable. It was the worst time of my life and obviously my wife's as well. And everyone kind of kept a cool head, which was, you know, quite reassuring. And the work they did, obviously I got to see everything, Naomi didn't get to see everything, but you know, it was very good. You know, they saved him, basically.
The story of Edward and Naomi and Maxwell Perry.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
six, Friday night, live from the Isle of Man. There's likely to be an election amongst MHKs in March 2020 as four members of the LegCo reach the end of their five-year term, in the case of three, and two years for Kerry Sharp. The other who'll either stand again or decide to retire are David Cretney, Tim Crookall and Bill Henderson. The last time positions became available, a large number of candidates came forward and those elected were all women. John Moss from Manx Radio News has been speaking to the House of Keys Speaker, Juan Watterson, about what to expect this time round.
What we were certainly looking for is a recognition of the greater diversity of Manx society being reflected in our upper house. I think there had been a view that Legislative Council was somewhat in the past stuffed with older men and very often only from the Keys. And while there is a place for that corporate knowledge in the Legislative Council, I think we're looking to sort of try and broaden that. So to that extent, I think that was certainly successful.
Was it rather too much of an overt reaction?
Well, bear in mind that we do only elect half of the elected members in any one sitting. That this one was the last one, of course, was a bit different because Mr. Anderson resigned at the same time, so we had five members to pick from. But it was a reflection of who put their names forward and what members wanted, and of course the new voting system made sure that you did actually get a result.
But was there a leaning towards ladies coming in?
I think there is, and I think there was. And I suspect that was because of a general feeling that they were underrepresented in our parliament generally. And that being the case, the Legislative Council is another area where that redress can be balanced up.
Would you expect that to continue in this next set of elections?
It's always about the best person for the job. And whilst we can use Legislative Council to sort of increase the pool of diverse candidates, which is very important. It is about making sure that you get the right people with the right skills mix in scrutinising our legislation and the work that Legislative Council are tasked with doing.
Anyone who is considering coming forward and putting their name forward, should they have a love of politics?
I don't know if you necessarily have to love politics, but you certainly have to be willing to sit through some long sittings of Tynwald and
hear the
debates.
But the driver shouldn't be just you want to be an MLC, it should be that you like politics.
Well, certainly what we've had, I think perhaps in the past, is we've had people who would love to have been MHKs and didn't get that job, so they've gone for another one. It is a completely different job. So if you want to be at the forefront of policy shaping at the in the executive, then I suspect this isn't the job for you. If you want to be part of a government department, part of that internal scrutiny mechanism, part of looking at our legislation, part of looking at the policies of government and holding them to account, then definitely this is the job for you.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Bamacree departed Heysham at 2:06, nudging into Douglas about now, and then off out again this evening at 7:45 for Heysham, arriving there at 11:30. The Monaghan departed Douglas at 3:08 this afternoon, getting to Liverpool in about the next 5 minutes or so, leaving Liverpool at 7:15 tonight, arriving in Douglas this evening at 10:00. And this weekend we bid fond farewell for 2019 anyway to the steam packets Fastcraft Monaghan. The final sailing is this Sunday, November 3rd. The Monaghan returns at the end of March next year.
With more than 900,000 special offer seats available during 2020, visit steam-packet.com.
And talking of water, those behind plans for a £6 million state-of-the-art sports complex at King William's College stress it's for use by the entire Manx community. Proposals include a 50-metre swimming pool, indoor running track, gym, cafe and 5 retail units for the fields by the front entrance to the private school. MHK Ralph Peake and Castletown Commissioner David Parnell formed a charity called Southern Community Sports Facility to launch the project. They're seeking outline planning permission for the Centre for Excellence to attract charitable funding. Mr. Peake and Mr. Parnell explain more about the project to our local Democracy reporter Ewan Gorn.
There is a gym complex which is designed or will be designed to cater for everybody from basic community needs up to world level performance athletes, and there's going to be a 50 metre FINA approved training pool, which is the threshold that we need to get our athletes to be able to qualify to race in England and further abroad. The beauty of this configuration is that it's not really there as a performance facility. It's there primarily as a community facility, and it can be sectioned off, so we can get much more use out of it than you can out of a standard pool. So you could have maybe 3 activities going on at the same time. You could imagine having preschool swimming going on at the same time as rehabilitation and health swimming, at the same time as triathlon training.
Is the lack of a pool of that length a barrier to our athletes at the moment?
The lack of a 50-metre pool is a massive barrier to the Isle of Man swimming, because as Ralph as a coach will tell you, you can't train to swim 50 metres without training in a 50-metre pool.
But I know it sounds easy, it's just twice the length of 25 metres, but it's that effort that's required. Without that stop, turn, push off from the wall, that really is what you need to do. So because they're measured in international and international lengths, 50 metres, you need to train at that 50 metres. But as David said, the major benefit of this is to have it sectioned off so it can be 2 25-metre pools for most of the time, and that will be the community facility.
And just to stress, this whole sports centre, it's for use by everybody, are we right? Because people maybe at face value think, oh, it's at King William's College, it's going to be just for King William's College.
Absolutely, this is a community project. That's what we've listened to all sections of the community, and this, we believe that this is such a flexible development that it can meet the needs of the community as well as meeting the needs of sports people.
Talk to us about how this is going to be operated. Is it going to be the charity? Is it going to be the school? Who's going to operate this site?
Very much the plan is that we are going to step out of the way and let people know what they're doing, get on with it. We're going to outsource the operations to a commercial gym with fundamentally a profit motive, of which the charity will share in.
And will that be the funding model to ensure it sustains? I know you've still got to get that £6 million to initially move the plans forward, but will that be how it works going forward in terms of funding?
I think going forward, if we can show that this facility will make money, the funding will come.
Absolutely, that is what it's all about. Rather than government getting involved in this is really a commercial community operation, and we know that this will actually then generate that. It'll generate what's needed in the community, and it'll also then generate profit for the small businesses that can all contribute, as well as the local sports organisations that can benefit from this facility.
You've stressed that this is not to compete with other pools on the Isle of Man. Tell me how that will work. Because, I mean, Surely it will.
It's not actually a competition venue, so this is a training facility. So the need is there in Castletown already for having that training facility. Yes, the local independent school can use that, King William's College, but also any other organisations can use that. So it is a community facility. It's fully flexible, so it will meet the needs of the widest organisations and community organisations here.
But we have no intention of having competitive sports competitions there.
But it won't compete with the NSC for use. It won't compete with the Southern Pool for use.
Totally different configuration. The NSC is a 25-metre, 8-lane pool, and it's been designed with a viewing gallery. It's been designed for competitions. I coach there every week with Douglas Amateur Swimming Club, so that won't change at all. This is, we believe, the best flexible facility for the south of the island.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, powered by Y Manx.
The news from California is the California utility giant PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, said when it outlined plans to stage mass blackouts in Northern California during the strong winds, it was a last resort. 1 million Californians have no electricity and another 1 million are at risk. On top of this, Pacific Gas and Electric has been in Chapter 11 bankruptcy since January this year in response to the financial challenges associated with the wildfires in 2017 and 2018.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
Global stocks rose as investor sentiment got a lift from much stronger than expected American jobs data. The euro held its gains against the dollar as investors sold the American currency, expecting the U.S. will soon join the global economic slowdown. The numbers, the FTSE was at the close was up 0.75% at 7,302. The DAX in Germany up 0.33% at 12,961. In America, the Dow Jones Industrial 27,281, up just short of 1%. The S&P 500 in Chicago up 0.7% at 3,058. And the NASDAQ tech stocks up 0.75% at 8,354. On the exchange markets, the pound was worth $1.29.3 and €1.15.8. Gold was trading at $1,511 a dollar, and a barrel of Brent crude will set you back $60.60.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers, and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
30 minutes to 6 on Update on Manx Radio. Big news in Manx Gaelic this weekend. It's the Koosh. But what is a Koosh and what's it got to do with Kazakhstan? Adrian Kane from Culture Vanin explains.
A Koosh is a nice word in Manx. It sort of means to get together, you know,
chat.
A chat.
And what's the aim behind it?
To be honest, over the years, there's been so much more going on in Manx and about Manx and the island, so many more opportunities for people to learn and speak it. In some senses, Kooshes happen all the time, really. But this is just one where we try to raise the profile a little bit, do a lot for learners, try and get them to meet more fluent speakers, put on information morning, which will happen tomorrow, and just celebrate in our own way, you know, why we speak Manx.
Right. Okay, now. And there's a get-together, I think, in St John's, is that tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning at St John's Methodist Hall, next to the Bunskull in St John's from 10:30, and there'll be lots of people and organisations involved in the language there. So if you want to find out a little bit more about Manx bilingualism, you know, about learning the language, you can drop in there.
I think Culture Vanin are going to be there, aren't they? Munjavega as well?
Culture Vanin, Munjavega and Cheshire Gilgach.
Okay, and we have a special guest as well, somebody to introduce to us who is English, lives in Kazakhstan and speaks Manx. Chris Trickett, Fastamai.
Fastamai.
Fastamai. Well, first of all, what took you to Kazakhstan, for heaven's sake?
Well, I was teaching English. I've been teaching English for about 15 years, 16 years now, and I always planned to teach in a different country each year. And I went to Kazakhstan with the plan that it would be one of those countries.
And why Manx? When did you start to learn Manx?
Well, it was a New Year's resolution about 3 or 4 years ago. I'm just a language freak, really. I love learning languages. I'd like to learn 10, and I'm up to 6 now. And why Manx? To be honest, I didn't really have a clear answer. It was just, like I say, I was in a cafe looking at a website, thinking, right, well, what language is it going to be? As an English speaker, there are no languages I really need.
Did you know Manx existed before you
got
to the website?
I was aware it had existed. I wasn't sure it still existed.
Really. And the website again is?
Learnmanx.com.
Isle of Man Water Sports. Weather.
Is the relevant information if you're sailing, kayaking, windsurfing, paddleboarding, diving or surfing this weekend? The inshore coastal waters forecast says for Saturday the wind is southeast 4 or 5, backing east northeasterly 3 or 4 by midday, and north or northwest 4 or 5 during the afternoon. The wave height on Saturday 2.2 metres, becoming 1.7 metres during the afternoon. Wave period 7 to 8 seconds. High water is at 13 minutes to 3. On Sunday, the wind will be north or northwest, 4 or 5, decreasing 3 or 4 during the afternoon. Wave height 1.5 metres, becoming 0.6 of a metre during the afternoon. Wave period 5 seconds and high water 23 minutes to 4. Maximum air temperature across the weekend 12 degrees. Wind chill will take that to 11, and the sea temperature forecast at 12 degrees.
For bespoke tabletop glass cut to measure, visit Manx Glass and Glazing in the Snugborough Trading Estate. Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Good evening. It's 9 minutes to six on Manx Radio. I'm Andy Wint.
Manx Radio Sport
with Chris Cave.
Faster, my good evening. We'll start with rugby, and Vagabonds beat Southern Nomads 26-7 in the Manx Cup last night. Conditions were far from perfect at Bala Fletcher, but that didn't stop Vaggers forwards from taking control of the game early in the first half. A penalty try plus a score from James Clark converted by Johnny Beckley gave them a 14-0 lead. Furo Davies' solo effort converted by Mark Young hauled Nomads back into it and left Vaggers 14-7 in front at the break. A soggy second half remained scoreless till the final 10 minutes when tries from Tom Gascoigne and Rob Martin, plus one more Beckley conversion, made it safe for Vaggers. Further afield, and Scottish rugby have wished England good luck ahead of tomorrow morning's World Cup final with South Africa. Eddie Jones' side have also received best wishes from the Queen and Prince Harry. Meanwhile, comedian Jack Whitehall has travelled to Japan for the match. Speaking to Sky Sports News, he says he's reluctantly optimistic.
I far prefer going into these games going, we're going to lose, it's all going to be doom and gloom.
And then everything's an upside.
I hate going in with optimism, it's horrible. Yeah, that's why I support Arsenal.
Well,
you know, I make sure in my whole sporting array of teams that I'm never entering into anything with confidence.
Meanwhile, Warren Gatland's final match as Wales Rugby Union head coach has ended in a heavy defeat to New Zealand. They were beaten 40-17 by the All Blacks in the bronze medal match at the World Cup in Japan. In football, Granit Xhaka has been left out of Arsenal's squad for tomorrow's Premier League game with Wolves. The club captain apologised last night for his angry reaction towards his own fans during last weekend's draw with Crystal Palace. That's your sport this evening.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Here's what's happening across the Isle of Man. Everything's fine at the airport. Just one late departure. EasyJet's 5:25 to Liverpool is late going out. It hasn't gone out yet because there was a late inbound plane as well. The flight to Dublin timed at 25 to 6 left early at about 25 past 6. So no problems on the roads as far as the Matrix signs are concerned. The Kirk Road in St John's, the Foxo Road to St John's, is closed for roadworks between Ballacrane traffic lights and the Western Amenity tonight. Access is via the Hope to the Civic Amenity site. Glen Road in Laxey closed, of course, although Laxey is open for business during the closure. Westlands in Peel is closed to vehicular traffic for its entire length until the 29th of February. Just here's a heads up, for a couple of weeks' time on Central Promenade in Douglas, they'll be creating three bays of 30-minute parking in front of Castle Mona shops from the 14th of November. And for the latest word on Douglas Promenade refurbishment and associated work, go to mypromenade.im. And of course, for all your guidance and information, there's a current comprehensive list of all travel news and issues on the Isle of Man for trains, planes, boats, buses, roadworks, and the prom at manxradio.com. And via our community tab at manxradio.com, there's a page of links to the 18 webcams across the Isle of Man.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Auto Solutions, 670-145.
It's a huge day in rugby union tomorrow as England and South Africa meet in the World Cup final in Japan. Eddie Jones' side produced a dominant display to see off the reigning champions, New Zealand, in their semi-final, the Springboks defeating Wales last Sunday. The Red Rose will have only won the trophy once, thanks to a last-gasp drop goal. Remember that from Johnny Wilkinson in 2003. South Africa are chasing their third crown. Manx Rugby Development Officer Chris Brannigan says a win for England will provide a huge boost to the Manx game.
It's coming back for Johnny Wilkinson. He drops for World Cup glory.
Yes!
It's up. It's over. He's done it. Johnny Wilkinson is England's hero yet again. And there's no time for Australia to come back. England have just won the World Cup.
Obviously, we've got a mix of the home nations over here, and we've also got a strong mix of South Africans over here too. But the investment England rugby make into the island already gives that strong partnership and strong link. So the investment in terms of club competitions, so our senior teams and our junior teams affiliate into English league structures and English competition structures. So we've got sort of a link directly with England already. Seeing a home nation win, I think if it had been Wales, it still would have had a massive impact on the Isle of Man. A home nation winning the World Cup final will just be in itself a big recruiter. I think it'll get not just players into the game, hopefully it'll re-inspire some people to come back into the game. So whether they're former players or maybe just guys and ladies to come down and watch on a Saturday.
But South Africa once again in front of President Mbeki on the brink of history. They're about to become world champions. And just as England did 4 years ago, right on the stroke of full time, they kick it into touch. And John Smith and his team are the winners here in the Stade de France.
And it is a rerun of that 2007 final. I mean, this is a completely different squad, but do you think that makes any difference to the way that England approached this match?
No, I don't think so. I think Eddie Jones is his own man. Brian Ashton was his own man in 2007. England 2019 or England 2019. I don't think they'll be thinking too much of 2007, nor will South Africa. I think it'll just be its own entity tomorrow.
More after 6 o'clock news with Chris Cave and the full Saturday Sport Preview. The Friday Sport Preview show is on the way. Breathe easy tonight, at least you're not in New Delhi. All schools in New Delhi have been closed and people have been warned to stay indoors after the city's pollution problem was declared a health emergency. So breathe easy tonight, you're off to a firework display, enjoy it. And that's it for Update Compile from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Rhiann Evans and producer Sarah Hendy. I'm Andy Wentz, back Monday at 5:30 for another update. Have a great weekend.